I want to speak this final service of this mission upon three calls that are recorded in the Word of God. And yet whenever we look at the Scriptures, we find that these calls have different responses to them. Over 50 years, I've been preaching in one congregation. I've had the privilege of going to many, many homes. But you know, not every home gives you the same response. Perhaps you go to the door and you knock the door, and my, no sooner have you knocked the door and the door opens and the person's standing there and their face is beaming and they're so happy to see you. And my, they reach out their hand, and when they're reaching it out, they're pulling you in. And you know, I'm welcome here. And then, of course, whenever you go in for a little while, and quite often it is the lady of the house, she will absent herself and excuse herself for a few moments, and your mind starts ticking around and says, well, I hope she's putting on the kettle. I'm going to get a cup of tea. And those that know me, I love my tea. And sure enough, she comes in and she sits down and we have that time of fellowship and friendship together, because there's a home, my friend, that you can know and absolutely be sure that there's always a welcome on the mat. Maybe there's another home you go to. But quite honest, whenever they open the door, they try to smile. But you know, they think that sometimes that preachers are stupid. But you know exactly as you look there that that person, yes, they reach out their hand, but mother, not pulling you in. Because deep in your heart you know that really you're upsetting their day. They don't really want you in at all. But of course, courtesy will say, would you like to come in? And of course you do. Of course, that's why you came. Then you go to another home and you knock the door, and my, whenever you come to the door, there's no smile. They're not even trying to smile. Oh, it's you. And friend, you know, therefore, well, I'm not getting in here. And they'll keep you standing on the door hoping that you'll tire standing there at the doorstep. And you'll say, well, listen, I think I'll go. They don't let you in at all. Then you go to another door, and I've gone to these. And you've knocked the door or rung the bell. And you know, as you're walking up there, up to the door, you can see the person walking through the kitchen or walking through the living room. But whenever you ring the bell or whenever you knock the door, friend, there's no answer. They just don't answer. And so you knock on because you know they're there. But they still don't come. Remember knocking the door one day, and this lady, I saw her in the living room, and I knew she was there, so I just kept on knocking for a while. Then finally, I thought I heard a little movement in the hallway, and I got down, and I looked through the keyhole, and as I was looking in, she was looking out. The eyes met in the keyhole. Oh, I didn't know it was you. What a lie. But friends, some people don't open the door at all. Yes, the same knock. The same caller. But different response. You read the story, my friend, of the sowing of the seed, and you find that it is the same sower, and he's carrying the same seed. There's nothing wrong with the sower. There's nothing wrong with the seed. But there's only one that brings forth the harvest. What's wrong? It's the soil. And friends, so it is with men and women that come to gospel meetings. Because not everyone responds in the same way to the same message and the claims of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to talk, as I said, about three calls. Different response. Turn in your Bibles, first of all, to Romans chapter 10. And in Romans chapter 10, here we have what the Word of God says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, here is the first call, here is the sinner's call. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Here is a call that is never in vain. Never in vain. Because God says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I can guarantee to any man or woman sitting in this meeting or younger person that if you call upon the Lord Jesus Christ, realizing that you're a sinner and that you need the Lord Jesus as your Savior, I can guarantee you on the authority of this word of God that I hold in my hand tonight, whoever you are that calls upon the name of the Lord in Savior, it's a call never in vain. And if you call, he'll answer. The Bible tells me that the Lord Jesus Christ walked upon the water. His disciples were there in the boat. And then as the Savior walked to them on the water, they were scared. They were afraid. And the Lord Jesus said, be not afraid, it's I. And Peter said, Lord, if it be thee or be thou, bid me to come to thee in the water. And Jesus said, come. Come on, Peter. The Lord wasn't mocking Peter whenever he said to him, come. Let me tell you, when God gives you a command, that's the enablement. Never called a person to do something without giving them the power and the ability to do it. And so we find here is a person, Peter, he steps out of the boat, and friend, listen, he went to go to Jesus. He did walk upon the water, and then something happened. He got caught up with the winds and the waves. They were lashing around the boat. And the Bible says Peter began to sink. You know, as Peter was going down into the Sea of Galilee, and I've sailed upon that sea, and as Peter was going down into the waters there to a watery grave in the Sea of Galilee, listen, he lifted his eyes and he lifted them to Christ and he said these words, Lord, save me. Save me. Wasn't a long prayer, was it? But I'll guarantee it was dead earnest. He meant every word of it. And they cried. Notice he didn't cry to the rest of the disciples in the boat. He cried to the Lord. The one that he had taken his eyes off. And as he took his eyes off the Savior and upon the winds, the waves lashing because of the wind, he began to sink and he cried out, Lord, save me. You know what the Bible says? Immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. Now, the Lord Jesus didn't say to him, you know, Peter, you were walking to me in the water, and I think you need to be taught a lesson. I think you need to swallow some of that water just to see how serious this is. And let him go down a couple of times. No, my friend, he didn't do that. The moment Peter cried, Lord, save me, the Savior knew he was crying in earnest. And Jesus immediately stretched forth his hand. Why? Because it was a call that was never in vain. You call upon the Lord tonight. Listen, on the authority of God's word, he'll save you. Peter cried simply this, Lord, there's no one else who was going to help. Lord, save me. Me. I ask you tonight, are you saved? Have you made that simple cry to the Lord? Earnestly before God and meant business with God and say, Lord, I want you to save me. And I want to tell you in the authority of God's word, he'll hear that cry. He'll answer that cry. You know, Peter and the Savior walked through those same waves and that same wind. You notice whenever the Lord caught Peter by the hand, the Lord didn't say to the winds, cease. He didn't say to the waves, lie down, go to sleep. He didn't. He said, Peter, let's go back to the boat. And Peter walked with Jesus upon the water. And it wasn't until they got into the boat the wind ceased. Let me tell you tonight, maybe you say to me, preacher, if you only knew my sin, if you only knew my life, if you only know how difficult a man or woman or young person I have been. Friend, let me tell you, I don't need to know, because God already knows. God knows you better than you know yourself. Thou, God, seest me and thou knowest me altogether, my friend. And the things that you've forgotten about, I want to tell you, God knows about them. Things that you want to put into the past, listen, God knows about them. He knows all about you. And yet he comes to see you. The outcast. The sinner. That's why he came, friend. He came to seek and to see you. That was just lost. Now let me tell you, if you take your place as a sinner, friend, and you acknowledge that you're lost before God, I have good news for you. Jesus has come to save you. And if you cry out in earnestness of heart, burden of soul, and you cry out for Jesus, oh God, save me from my sin, then God will do it immediately. Immediately. You call. He answers. Why? Because that's a call of the sinner that is never in vain. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8, it says, and when Jesus was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. You see, as a leper, he was totally unclean. An outcast. And what Jesus said, verse 3, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, oh, there's the love of Christ, friend, for sinners, this old leper. And Jesus says, I will. I will. He says, be thou clean. And friend, he was. That moment, he was cleansed. Why? Because he cried out to the Lord, Lord, if thou wilt, oh God, I believe that you're able, but if you're willing, Lord, you can make me clean. And I want to tell you tonight, I don't care what your sin is. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from, listen, all sin. I've often said it. I used to be a member of Parliament for North Belfast. His name was Johnny McQuaid. One of the most honorable men that I ever knew. He fought one of the main, in the wars, he was one of the, as it were, the elite. And remember, whenever he would talk about it, he really wouldn't talk about what he had to do, but whenever you challenged Johnny about his need of salvation, he was a very decent and honorable person. Lived in a little kitchen house up the Shankill Road. Two rooms downstairs, two rooms upstairs. Wasn't a luxury. Talked to Johnny about his need of Jesus. He said, Mr. McRae, if you only knew what I had to do during the war, God couldn't forgive me. I used to say to him, Johnny, there's not a sin if it's confessed and repented of, but the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, can cleanse. And then Johnny's wife, wee Sissy, took cancer. Johnny went to one of my ministerial colleagues and he said to him, "Would you go and talk to Sissy? She hasn't long to go. She's not seeing." A minister went to Sissy, told her the news of the gospel, and that the joy of pointing Sissy to Christ. And then one day, friend, Johnny came to Jesus too. What did he find? He found that there wasn't a sin that scarred his soul, but when it was repented of, God had promised to forgive. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And here's a poor outcast, and he says, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus reached out his hand and he touched him. Let me tell you, nobody else would have touched him, because to touch the leper would make him unclean. The Lord Jesus was a sinless, spotless Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. And Jesus touched him. Oh, I would tonight that you would ask the Lord to touch your heart, touch your life. "Lord, you can make me clean." Friend, he can. I led a wee man to the Lord in his 90s. He looked at me and he said to me, "Mr. McRae, I feel clean. I feel clean." I said, "That's right, friend. For the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin." And then for a moment, turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. And in Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, the Bible tells us about another man. And in verse number 37 of Luke, chapter 18, it says, and they told him, rather, verse 35, "And it came to pass that as he was come nigh," that was Jesus, "come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant, and they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passed by. And he cried, saying, 'Jesus, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me.'" How many days did he lie there along that roadside, friend, crying out to others to have mercy, but they just passed on by? The Bible says, he was begging. Day after day he sat there, the blind man with his hand outstretched, hoping that someone would have mercy, drop something in, that he might live. But many walked on past. But when he heard it was Jesus, he said, "Jesus, Savior, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And when they went before, rebuked him that he should hold his peace, but he cried so much the more, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought to him. And they asked him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" And he said, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." That was his cry. "Lord, I'm blind. I can't see. Lord, give me my sight. Notice that. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Thy faith has saved thee. And immediately, he received his sight. Dear sinner tonight, let me tell you spiritually, that's you. You're blind. The God of the world has blinded you, your eyes and your heart, lest the light of the glorious gospel would shine in. And I pray that even sitting there in that seat before the service goes any further, that you'll cry out, oh Lord Jesus, that I might receive my sight. Oh God, help me to see. I said, in the beauty of the Savior. And Jesus said, I will. And immediately, why, friend? Because God's word says that if you call, he'll answer. A dear unsaved person, let me tell you, you might have a sickness tonight, but I'll tell you, you have something that's far deeper. It's the awfulness of sin that stains and scars your soul and will take you to hell itself. You need to call out. Remember the prodigal son sitting at the old pig trough. No man now wants to give him anything. Ah, yes, he had plenty of friends when his pocket was full. Nobody wants to know him anymore, and now he's hungry. And he reaches out and puts out his hand to take some of the pig's food. And as he's sitting there, something happens in his mind. He said, you know, I'm sitting in an old pig trough, and the servants of my father, and they're sitting at the table plenty. And I perish with hunger. Then he said, I'll arise and I'll go to my father. And I'll say to my father, Father, I've sinned against you. And I'm not worthy to be called your son. Make me your hired servant. Then he made his way home. And when he was making his way home, when he way there in the distance, down the dusty path, his father saw him. Tell me, how did the father see him in the distance? I'll tell you why. There never was a day the father wasn't looking for him. There wasn't a day that the father longed. Oh, that my son would come home, my rebellious, my broken-hearted son. When he'd go to bed at night, he didn't know where his son was. He didn't know what his son had, but he was out there in the far country. And he cried, oh God, bring him home. Thank God he did. And he said, Father. The father ran. The old man ran, and he just fell on his son's neck and he kissed him. I believe, my friend, that son was worried. Will Father tell me to go? Look at you. Look at the smell of stench of your clothes, of the pigs. Look at you, you're wasted. You're not the boy that used to sit at my table. They wondered what the father would say. The father, listen, ran. And he threw his arms around him and he kissed him and he said to him, my son. What the boy said? He says, Father, I've sinned. And I know I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to be called thy son. And he's about to say, make me your hired servant. Father stopped him. The father said, you're my son. And maybe there's a wayward boy or girl out in the world tonight on the crowded road to hell, and the devil's saying to them, there's no use. There's no hope for you. I want to tell you, friend, God loves you. God loves you. Will you call on him? Will you say, Lord Jesus, I've sinned. I've sinned. But thank God you take your place as a sinner, friend. He'll be your Savior. He's made you to save. The call that is never in vain. But let's go quickly, friend. Turn back now to Proverbs chapter 1. And in Proverbs chapter 1, look at verse 24. God says this, because I have called, but you have refused. I stretched out my hand, but no man regarded. But you said it not all my counsel, and you would have none of my reproof. Yes, here's a call, friend, but sad to say, it's a call that's often in vain. God says, I've called. I've called. But you have refused. Tell me, how many times has God called you? How many times has God spoken to you in a gospel meeting like this? How many times has God's servant faithfully stood in this pulpit and told you your need of salvation? And friend, it's not that you don't know you need to be saved. You know, because the Spirit of God is written out in your heart, and you know what the preacher is saying is true, because God's word is true. It's truth. But you're not saved. Why? It's not that God hasn't called. You've refused. You've said, no. No. You know, sometimes God speaks and calls through sickness. Has to put a person on the broad of their back before they'll ever think about the things of God. Sometimes God has to speak through sorrow, maybe the death of a loved one. Remember a man that was an elder of my congregation, but in his ungodly days, he told me, you know, he went to little pilgrims' meetings. And yet he walked away night after night, and then a friend died. He was standing at the side of the grave. And after the final part of the service was over, the gravedigger started to close on the grave, and the clay thudded down upon the top of the casket. And as he looked into that grave, God said to him, Sandy, if that had been you, where would you be? Sandy knew he'd be in hell. Because he was still in his sin. Yes, he knew. God had spoken to him many times before, but there standing with his heart breaking at the side of the grave, the Spirit of God spoke to him and challenged him concerning eternity. Maybe, friend, it's through a godly saint, maybe a godly mother. And, friend, you know that whilst you're out in sin, that godly mother never goes to bed at night without getting down on her knees and maybe crying, God, save my son, or save my daughter. But you just walk on. As if they never shed a tear. But friend, you know that God has spoken to you through them. God spoke to me through a faithful Sunday school teacher. A godly woman that told me God's way of salvation, told me about heaven and hell, and told me about death and about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how that the Lord Jesus says, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Maybe it's through one of his servants, faithful preacher. And as he stood before the congregation, and you've heard him plead with sinners to come to Christ, God was speaking to you, and God was calling you and said, listen, it's you, friend. You need to come. Maybe you thought he was talking to somebody else, but no, the Spirit of God was applying it to your heart. Maybe it was just simply through the Scripture. Somebody handed you a gospel tract, and that little verse challenged your soul. First thing God spoke to my dad in his sin was, through a little verse, to lose your wealth, it's sad indeed, to lose your health is more. But to lose your soul is such a loss that no man can restore. Friend, it's true. To lose your soul. Jesus says, what should it profit a man? Listen to the loving Lord Jesus, the one that loved you so much that he left heaven's glory and stepped down into a sin-cursed scene of time where they mocked him and scoffed him and sneered at him and pulled the hairs from his cheek and spit upon his face and put him on a cross. They nailed his hands and his feet and they put the sword in his side. They didn't care. Lord Jesus, why did you do it? He said, I did it for you. That you might not perish. That you might have everlasting life. God's call. Tell me. Be honest tonight. What's your answer? God's calling you tonight. God's saying you tonight, he must be born again. Your sin will take you to hell and you'll perish there forever and ever, and those that get there will never get back. When God called Moses to get into the ark and God says, come in. And the Bible says, God shut the door. Then the people wanted to get in. But God, for 120 years, listen, 120 years, God's servant preached. He warned, he pleaded, he begged the people, he told them the judgment was coming. That the wrath of God would fall upon them because of their sin. That God was sick of their sin. And would not allow it to go on anymore. And they laughed at him. And then God says, yet 7 days. 7 more days. And then God says to Noah, Noah, come in. Come in. I remember standing at the side of a dear woman that I led to Christ, dying of cancer. I remember the day that she was dying. She sent for her husband and her family and for me. In those last moments, I remember her bringing each one of her children up to her, one by one. said, you know, I love you. I love you with all my heart. But I have one request. Promise me to meet me in heaven. And one by one they did. And then she called her husband to her side and she took a hold of his hand and she says, Willie, I've loved you for all these years, but now it's time to go. But I asked you one thing before I die. Will he promise me you'll meet me in heaven? He sat silent around that bed. Let me tell you, my dear friends, many of that family are still unsaved. Yes, God called. But they refused. Go to verse 28 as we finish. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early. Oh yes, they find time for God now. But they shall not find me. Friends, listen to me carefully. There is a call that is always in vain. God says, I called. But ye refused, they bluntly refused the call of God. He said, no man regarded. In other words, you didn't even take me under your notice. Many a person has sat in gospel meetings under the power of the preaching of God's word, and my friend, they can't wait to get out. They don't take God under their notice or the seriousness of the moment. He said, you sat at naught. All my counsel. What did that mean? You just pushed it aside. I said, I never spoken at all. He said, you would none of my reproofs. In other words, you didn't want it. But there's a price for that, friend. Listen. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Harvest day. The reaping for your sin. And God says there'll come a day and you'll call. But God says, I'll not answer. Luke 16, the Lord Jesus told about the man who lived and died without Christ, and he went to hell. And in hell he cried in torment. He says, have mercy on me. But listen, friend. There was a day that mercy was offered. But the day of mercy was over. Don't play with God, friend. You're not big enough. Don't fool around with your soul. It's the most precious possession you have. Even you gave the whole world. And you went to hell. Your soul was lost forever. It's not worth it. Not worth it. There's a verse there in that passage of God's word that makes me tremble.
Look at verse 26. I also will laugh at your calamity. This is God speaking, friend. And he says, I'll mock when your fear comes.
You see, the tables are turned. Whenever I called, you laughed. You never thought of your calamity. Now, nothing could stop you. You were the master of it all. Your hand was upon the wheel. You are the boss. And you laughed at God.
God says, there'll come a day I laugh at you. He says, there was a day you mocked. And God says, I'll mock when your fear cometh.
What an awful thing. Down the corridors of hell, in the midst of the darkness of the damned, to hear the laughter of a holy, righteous God that once offered you mercy, that once held out those hands. He said, listen, I stretched out my hand, let me tell you, his hand is the marks of Calvary. And he says, I stretched out my hand. You just pushed it away. I don't need it. He says, you'll call, but I'll not answer. A call that is always in vain. Why? You called too late. God's word says, behold, now is the accepted time. I can't promise you. Listen, I knew David Amos. Yes, a very decent, honorable member of parliament. Knew him for many years. Little did he know when he was walking into that surgery and that church hall to meet his constituents that there would be another visitor. Death. And David's out in eternity tonight. Tell me, is this God's last call to you before you go? What's your answer? Two ways before you lie, and each a choice must make. One upward to the sky, the other downward to the lake. Will any choose the path of woe? Listen to me carefully. Each soul will answer, yes or no. What's your answer? Will you receive Christ this last night of a mission? Or will you walk through the doors again into the darkness of the night? And maybe into the darkness of the blackness of a lost eternity forever. God forbid. Come now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word tonight. Realize that this is a solemn place. For where the word of God is preached and men and women are confronted with eternal issues, that's a solemn thing. Thy word reminds us it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Oh, God forbid tonight that somebody go away without you, saying a final no, and my spirit shall not always strive with man. And God, you hand them over to their sin and to judgment. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, friend, what's your answer? What will you do with Jesus? What will your answer be? Someday your soul will be asking, what will Jesus do with me? I beg you, don't go away. Don't go away without Jesus. May you cry out, O Lamb of God, I come to thee. Lord, save me. I perish. Praise God, he will. Lord, answer prayer. For Jesus' sake. Amen. And tonight, I make one final solemn appeal. If there's someone in this gathering tonight and God has spoken to your heart, I beg you, don't go home tonight unsaved. I beg you, don't do that. But wait as others are going. Speak to Brother Murray or myself, or our brethren here. But don't go away without Jesus. God bless you. Thank you for the privilege of preaching this book. Almighty Savior, let him go home with you. God bless you.